This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection. Laura Williams here this morning with Dr. Jomel Abayag, and we are very happy to have you on the show this morning, Doctor. Of course, one of the topics that's very, very concerning to me is breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. I know that's not happening until October, but I thought, why not get an early jump on that and just talk about things that are going on in the Bobette Steele Hagler Cancer Center and just pick your brain for some information on what women can do to be proactive.
Very good.
So tell us a little bit about you, Dr. Abayag.
So I've been in the Danville area for more than 25 years. I did all my training at the University of Illinois in Chicago. I do general oncology and hematology, and I'm happy to be here after all these years, right? You know, the community has responded to our what we can offer here in the Cancer Center. We've made great strides at keeping up to date with all the technology and all of the treatment options for patients who need our help.
So, Dr. Abayag, I understand you have a new linear accelerator. I don't know what that is. Can you help us understand that?
So in addition to, we try and offer a broad range of treatment for our patients here in Danville. And one of them is radiation therapy. Radiation therapy is meant for people who need treatment for a variety of cancers, whether it be solid tumors from breast, colon, and lung, to a variety of other diseases. To keep up with paces with new technology, therapy equipment, this linear accelerator, as we call it, is one of our new spanking new devices here. It's safer, it's quicker, it's more accurate to deliver treatment to tumors in patients that require our help.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the Cancer Center in whole, because it's an amazing facility.
So yes, it's been here since 1982, and I've been here since 1997. We offer a broad range of treatment from chemotherapy to immunotherapy, targeted therapy. We access our help with different patients who need our help for physical therapy, for nutritional support, for religious support as well. We do some preventive medicine here as well. It's hard to do that when you're the only oncologist and you want to do a broad range of things. We're trying to dabble into clinical trials as well. We have a chemotherapy suite. We're presently going to do a renovation for coming this year. We will be offering more office space and more patient rooms, because we see that unfortunately, there's a need for more volume in this cancer center. We're also trying to look for another medical oncologist. You know, after 25 years, it's hard to do everything. So we're trying to recruit newly graduating medical oncologist.
Mm-hmm. That would be great to bring somebody in and train along with you and again, have the availability to expand your services, because yes, as you said, unfortunately, there's a large need in our area. So when we talk about breast cancer specifically, in my situation, there were no warning signs, so I had no idea, but I luckily always was impressed to have my mammogram every year. And through that, I was able to find a spot. And so what there typically aren't signs, are there, unless there's a lump?
Sure. I mean, we don't want to wait for that to happen, but certainly, you know, there are screening processes we do, and it always starts with the individual itself. I mean, even though self-breast exam isn't as touted as much as usual, I mean, the woman is the first line of defense. So any unusual heaviness to the breast, any unusual skin manifestations, any lumps, we still recommend people doing some sort of exam, usually in the shower, right? When you have time to really evaluate your breast and make sure you include the axillary underneath the armpit as well. As you know, the American Cancer Society, has the recommendations for screening tests, and starting with people who are at average risk, between the ages of 40 and 44, there is a recommendation that people have a choice to undergo yearly mammographic screening. From 45 to 54, it is therefore recommended that women offer their do breast exams and mammogram every year. And after the age of 55, then they do acknowledge that perhaps the risk is less, and they go to every 2 years. So we do have some screening tests here, especially here in Danville. We've obtained a 3D mammography machine just last year. So it's meant for people with more dense breasts. It's amazing. It makes things much more accurate. When you look at it on the screen, it's like you take off your glasses and you put on your glasses between 3D and 2D mammography. It makes so much of a difference, and it makes the recall less. Sometimes women have to come back and forth to do an ultrasound or to do another test. 3D mammography makes things more accurate, so you get a better image of your breast. We also have what's called ABUS, which is an automated breast ultrasound. So that device also is augmented the mammography to make things more accurate and make things more sensitive for patients with abnormal breast tissue that need additional testing.
Several years ago, a facility that I went to, they would ask when you would go in, do you want the 3D or the other? And, we would ask, what's the difference? And I'm saying we, because there was a group of us that worked at Danville Area Community College, and we would go in and we're like, well, does our insurance pay for that? And they're like, yeah. And we're like, okay, well, let's do that. But that's the lens that we were looking through it, not realizing that the 3D was the absolute best, and that's what we should be doing. So when women come in for screenings, do they choose still, or is that something that's automatic with the 3D?
I think you still have a choice. Obviously, it's here in Danville, technicians do offer the patient the choice, either 2D or 3D. 3D also, remember, it's women in general don't like to do mammograms because what does it do, right? It squeezes the breast tissue, and 3D mammography doesn't require as much pressure. I think the technologists ask you, how much pressure can you take? Can we keep going? But the 3D mammography, it does make it, you don't have to press down as hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must say, it's not the most pleasant of experiences. However, definitely necessary. And so one of the things we really want to do today is to encourage women to make sure that they are taking care of their mammograms and that they are going to facilities and having that done. Dr. LeBiog, you may not know the answer to this one. This may be a business office question, but are there ways for women who don't have insurance to be able to receive mammograms?
Yes, absolutely. OSF has a financial assistance program for patients, especially for screening tests like that. They're helped in ways, and we have grants and things to help support women who don't have insurance to help them get their mammograms accordingly.
Okay, so audience, I hope you just heard that there is definitely a way for you to do that. And if you are a woman, you should definitely make sure you're getting your mammograms, because again, that's one of the ways that you can discover if you do or don't have breast cancer. And again, in my situation, I was perfectly healthy, or so I thought, until the mammogram came back with signs, and then that little process began. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation.
Danville's Talk Station. Danville's Talk Station. 1490 WDAN. Danville.
Welcome back to Community Connection. We have Dr. Jomel Labayog with OSF Cancer Center, the Bobette Steele Hagler Center. And we were just talking about ways that people can get mammograms if they don't have insurance to be able to do that. And definitely something that we want to do. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're a little bit before October, but we want to make sure that people understand and are getting prepared to make sure that they're scheduling that in. That's just as important as any other yearly testing that they should be doing. Dr. Labayog, you were talking about, you mentioned the chemo area. Can you tell us more about that?
So it's never a place that people want to go to, right? Because anyone who requires chemotherapy, that means their disease is at high enough risk of recurrence that some sort of systemic treatment needs to be given to help prevent recurrences. And that goes along with a number of tumor types, from leukemias to lymphomas to lung cancers, colon cancers, and breast. It is a marvelous place, though, when you if you've ever gone in there, because it's a wide open atmosphere. It has about 10 chemotherapy chairs. Most of them face the windows, the picturesque windows, which looks over our garden, where you have the opportunity to look at our groundhogs, you know, our squirrels, our deer that come and visit. So it's a place where you don't want to be, but at least we try and make it as comfortable as possible. Like it kind of separates or gives you a chance to not think about what you're doing here and in fact enjoying the nature that we have there.
Mm-hmm. So thankfully I never had to go that route, but my sister-in-law did, and she would often send photographs from when she was taking chemo of the squirrel out the window or the deer or whatever. So I know it was definitely something that helped her refocus instead of on the reason why she was there. So cancer in general, what can people do, if anything, to lessen the chance of occurrence?
So let's look at the risks of breast cancer first. As you know, there are some things in that you can change and things you can't change. For example, you know, your parents or who you're born to or from, you know, your genetics, those things you can't necessarily change. You know, there are mutations, there are breast cancer genes that can be passed down from your parents, both from your father and from your mother. So, you know, if there's a strong family history, you know, there are some tests that can determine whether or not you're at higher risk. But in general, there are some things you can do to reduce your risk of developing breast cancer. And the first couple things are risk factors, including alcohol, right? If you enjoy your alcohol at least more than 2 or 3 drinks a day on a daily basis, you can increase your risk of developing a breast cancer as much as 20%.
Wow.
So we all like our drinks here and there, but if you do it, imbibe alcohol regularly, right? 2 or 3, you know, whether it be wine glasses or beers a day, you know, that does increase your risk. Other things that you can do is your diet, right? Obesity has a lot to do, not only for a number of other cancers and cardiac issues, but also for breast cancer. It does. Obesity increases your estrogen levels, increases your insulin levels, and all of those can in some way increase your risk of breast cancer. Not having any children, and not breastfeeding. You know, when you do have children, your estrogen levels change. When you breastfeeding, your estrogen levels change and actually decrease. Anything you can do to break your cycles to reduce the risk of exposure of estrogen, including having children and breastfeeding, all of those help in reducing your risks of breast cancer. And also in general, physical therapy, right? Being healthy, going out there and exercising, not using your phone and looking at Twitter or YouTube and things, but actually getting out there and being physically active is good for many reasons. And obviously the most important thing is smoking, right? Smoking has, you know, it's unfortunately Vermilion County is one of the highest in Illinois in terms of the number of people over the age of 18 that smoke. So if you can do yourself one thing, you know, by reducing or stopping smoking or not ever lighting up, and that includes in some degrees vaping too, because anything, any anything that you can see when you breathe, right? If you can see the particles, if you can see things, you know, that's not necessarily the most healthiest thing to do. So all of these things can help in reducing your risks of developing breast cancer, but also in general, most other cancers as well.
Okay, Dr. Lebayog, you mentioned something, male breast cancer. That's something that me personally, I have hardly ever heard about. I think I know one person, but I don't know, address that.
So yes, I mean, there are occasions, it's not very common, but there are times when we have treated men with male breast cancer. You know, it's the same risk factors, you know, the obesity, the alcohol, of course, you know, the children and the breastfeeding is different, but physical activity or the lack of always increases your risk. There are some family histories associated with male breast cancer as well, but you treat it the same way. You treat male breast cancer the same way you would female. You know, if there's a role for surgery, if there's a whole role for chemotherapy or anti-hormonal therapy, radiation therapy, it's absolutely treated the same way.
Okay. Well, Dr. Lebayog, we are almost out of time, but one of the things I want to say to you, you know, I hope that you realize how valuable you are to this community. You give people hope, and I've talked to tons of women who absolutely love you, who love the care that you give, and, you know, you take it personal, I can tell. And so we want to thank you for your service to the people of Vermilion County and outside the area. You do an amazing job. Thank you for all that you do. Just getting up every morning and the weight of people that has to be upon you. Thank you for bearing that burden because we need you.
Well, I can never do things without my staff. You know, the Cancer Center staff is great. My chemotherapy nurses, the secretaries up front, the radiation technologists, you know, the supervisors, everybody plays a role, you know, and it's important that we're a team. You know, we always, when we treat patients, we take care of patients, it's always a team effort. And like I said, I could never be as successful, and thank you for the accolades, but I could never do that without my staff.
Definitely, and definitely a great friendly center from the moment you walk in throughout the duration of the treatment. And you're definitely right. It's a team approach, and you can honestly feel the caring, loving attitude that's felt at the Bobette Steely Hagler Cancer Center. So thank you for all that you do, and thank you for taking time to share with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Audience, please pay attention to what we've talked about today. This is critical for your health and for the health of your family because we need you here as well. So please pay attention, get those mammograms, do what you can do to help reduce your risk factors. And in the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with another show.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.